Welcome back, everyone, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. That's carlsoncast.com. It's chilly out. He can't feel his extremities on a good day. It's Mr. Vinny Paulino. Look at that guy.
Diabetes.
Cold outside. He's a little dead inside. That's Brian Ball right there, everybody. Welcome
not
back.
Dead
otters don't get cold. That's just me. I'm fine. Everything's great. How are you doing? He's hosting a family of homeless squirrels in his beard for the cold weather. Chris Frangiola, everybody.
You just fell apart.
A little sloppy. Just fall apart at the end.
We're on a roll.
Oh, right. My God. We're rushing. We're running around. And you can't read anymore.
We're on a roll.
I think it's great that Cam is hosting those squirrels.
It's because I had notes.
Oh, they're my friends now.
They're Syrian squirrels.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm very excited for today's show. We have a couple of interesting things going on. We have a special guest from Hate This Podcast. Todd Gerselin is going to stop in just a minute or two. And Chris Frangiola, our headliner this weekend. Brand new podcast he just started that's actually fantastic. I gave it a listen this morning. It's called Cover to Cover. I like it a lot. He's also a former writer for Chelsea Lately. And he's been in the biz. He's a Hollywood guy. And we're going to talk a lot about that today.
Yeah.
So strap in, kids. Let's start off today with something simple and awesome.
What is that, Vincenzo?
Coming up March 1st in the Rickles Room, we have a lot of really great shows coming up, and we're going to talk about a bunch of them real quick in the open. But coming up, we have the Rochester Riff Night. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're doing a night of watching ridiculous movies. A movie that you pick. Right now, there's a poll live on Comedy with the Carlson's Facebook page. You need to pick the movie right now. Mars Attacks is in the room. You know, second places right now? 50 Shades of Grey. So we are going to riff style over this movie. Our good friend Brian McBride is going to be our host for it. And Brian is insanely funny and knows his movies. So
very quick.
Very quick wit. You'll enjoy this quite a bit. I believe I may have been invited to be a part of it. I'm not sure yet.
I haven't gotten a call yet.
Well, that's not a surprise. I didn't even call you to remind you to come to the show this week. I was hoping to think you were fired.
Oh, what the? Oh, today?
Yeah.
No, I assumed I just had to be here.
Well, you know what happens when you assume.
Yeah.
Also coming up, let's see, what else we got coming up? Oh, how about this? Next Friday night, new comic night.
Woo!
New comic night in the Rickles Room.
Already.
Well,
wow,
I mean,
came up quick.
It didn't, though. The last one was the weekend of Thanksgiving, weekend after Thanksgiving. So we're coming back here January 18th, 8 p.m. sign up, 8:30 p.m. drawing for 20 spots. There are 25-minute spots available. You got to win one. We're going to do a very random drawing. You write your name on a piece of paper, throw it in the hat, and I draw at 8:30, and you get a spot. It's going to be packed.
Yeah, if you're just coming to watch,
you are going
to
have
to get there early because it was standing room only last time.
So. Yeah, and it's fun. It is a fun show.
We don't do these super often, so a lot of people come out.
Who's we?
Yeah.
I don't do these super. I'm just kidding.
No, I meant in the royal sense. The royal we.
I think you should think of it in like the popper sense,
guys,
if I were you.
Guys that occasionally enter this building, a sense of we.
All right, one more before we talk to Todd from Hate This Podcast. This one I'm very excited about. We're bringing it back. This is the third annual Rochester Roast Battles.
Boom.
They're coming this much now. If you visit our website, carlsoncast.com, you will find the entry for the Rochester Roast Battles. They're going to be starting in February. They're going to run for 3 weeks. And next week on this very show, we are going to introduce you to our brand new Roast Master. Because this year, I'm stepping back. I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it.
Vegas odds have me going pretty good for this one.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Which
you,
Vegas?
They have you the same odds of you being the host of the roast battle as you have of winning
the Super Bowl.
No,
not being the host of winning it.
Oh, of winning it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you are pretty good in these. You've gone pretty far.
I don't do bad. And I got beat by the champion last time.
So did I.
That's the only person who could thwart me.
That Justin Brown. He's a killer. So if you want to sign up for the roast battles, it is all in good fun. What you're going to do is go to carlsoncast.com, fill out the little form, your name, your email address, and then what we need you to do is write 10 facts about yourself. The 10 facts are very important because the only people who are going to get those 10 facts are your opponents. They're going to get to see them. So just to help them write jokes about you. So again, all in good fun.
Because people come from all over the state. We don't know who they
are. Yeah, we got people from Pennsylvania last time who came in. I'm like, oh, you're probably a Quaker. I don't know. what do I know about you?
Quaker.
Oh, Amish. You're probably Amish. I don't know.
You have no chrome on your car.
Or buggy. So, yeah, the roast battles are coming up. Check that out. Now, get in here, would you please? Todd, come sit down, you dum-dum. I told you to come sit down before.
I told you to come right away, and this is his version of right away. And then you're not even in.
Dude, I was entertained watching you.
There's a microphone. Scooch, you're supposed to be a broadcast professional.
Could somebody show what's going on the couch? Could you just show this numbnut trying to get it together?
Jesus,
oh, that was a good shot.
Are we good now?
Hey, Todd.
Hi, buddy.
Good to see you, Val.
You too, Brian, sir.
Yeah, broadcast professional.
I like your legs. Nice legs crossed.
Thank you.
So I keep them there for the guests.
Yeah, it's good. I feel welcome. Thank you.
It has nothing to do with me feeling safe keeping them on the other side of the desk.
Right.
It's just, you know, for the guests.
Yeah, well, he's doing a good job.
Todd, I'm glad to have you back here. I haven't had you on the show since you won Showmageddon.
We won Showmageddon right there. Thanks. You hear that, Cam? Just kidding, dude. You did a good job, too, brother.
In your face, Tiller.
Oh, way to knock me down a couple notches.
Oh,
yeah, well, I'm hoping tonight is just as kick-ass as that one.
Yeah, you guys, you pretty much sold out the Rickles. You had an awesome show, and tonight is going to be no difference. This is your first show of the series. Now, you guys won. You won four shows. You get to put on four shows. This is the first.
Yep, this is the first.
And I'm going to tell you what
we have to see him three more times after this.
I like Todd. Todd
thanks,
can come
Vinny.
In.
Brian, right. Dude, you're better when you're quiet. Okay.
Why don't you switch spots with Brian?
Let's get this show fired up, brother. Don't talk to me with your legs crossed and your arms crossed like that, first of all.
I got to be honest with you.
I don't like your closed down look. It's offending me.
I got to be honest with you. Todd may have come in here like a bumbling, stumbling idiot, but he makes a lot of sense. You know? The energy.
I'm just going to man spread for you for the rest of the show.
I feel way better about that.
I wish I had a shot of that.
Okay, can I get back to complimenting you?
Yeah, rarely happens, so I'm totally down.
All right, so I'm gonna legit from my heart, I like what you're doing here. What's neat about this show is not only did you decide not to go, I'm just going to bring in some local comic to be a headliner. You swung for the fences. You got a great headliner. You also have a cool theme for the show, which I think makes it unique and different. So would you tell everybody what's going on? And why don't you hit the promo for a show there? You go. Talk it up, Todd.
Yeah, so it's called Clearly Corrupted. First, we're bringing in Ian Fidance from New York City. He's at Comedy Cellar regular. He's on You Up with Nikki Glaser. He's on a bunch of stuff. Legion of Skanks, Come Town,
absolutely,
all these podcasts. And he's sober. Okay, he's been sober for a few years, and also most people know that Craig and I are sober, and the other half of the people are totally, like, Justin Brown's on.
Oh, boy.
So
he's
we have this
emphatically not.
Yeah, right. He actually hates sober people. Like, he does not, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't even like, he talks about it.
You'll be lucky if he shows up.
Yeah, actually, no, I'll be lucky if he doesn't show up, but...
Brian, see, he goes for the jokes, he goes for the punch.
So
take notes, Brian.
So we have this dichotomy of half... I use dichotomy. Is that cool? Cam, you understand what I'm saying right now, buddy?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. You can't... I draw the line at Cam. You can't be mean to Cam.
I'm sorry. And so this half sober, totally half non-sober, so we're going to talk about vices for the night, the funny side of vices, because there's some weird vices out there. And what you've done to get vices, what, you know. So I got some canned questions. We're going to have audience questions just like we did last time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be recorded. We're going to release it as a half podcast, the stand-up. It's going to be a killer time, man.
Yeah.
I'm stoked about this.
I'm actually thinking of sticking my head in for that. I wasn't positive I was going to be able to, but I think I'm going to make an appearance.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I'm going to check this out.
Brian?
Maybe I'm going to stick around. So tickets are $10?
No, they're $15.
They're $15?
Yeah, well, I got to bring in this dude in. Are you kidding me? I'm over my head with this.
I'll give you $16 for this show. I think it's pretty good.
No, don't start bidding.
Yeah. Who's taking $17? Dude with the hat.
Proverbial $16. Proverbial.
$15, $16.
I like what you're doing here. I really do, and I think the first show was a real success, and I mean that in terms of not just the fact that a lot of people came to it. Mm. It was a good quality show, and I think the sky's the limit for you guys. Congratulations on your win.
Thank you
very much. Best of luck tonight, man.
Thank you. Come tonight. $15, great headliner. It's going to be an awesome, rowdy, fun time, so come out, man.
Awesome. So come see Todd tonight, Clearly Corrupted. with Ian Fidance in the Rickles Room. Get your tickets, $15. You can visit carlsoncast.com, or I believe you get them at the door tonight.
Yep.
Todd Gerson, you could also check out Hate This Podcast.
Thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome, Todd. You can find that on iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are sold. Todd, bumble and stumble your way out of here.
Yeah, I'm out.
We're going to be back with our guest today, Chris Frangiola, in just a second. Frangiola, January 10th through the 12th. Felipe Esperanza, January 17th through the 19th. Vicky A. Barbalak, January 24th through the 26th. Moses Storm, January 31st through February 3rd. Jesse May Peluso, February 7th through the 9th. Todd Youngman, February 8th and 9th, in the Rickles Room. Ornie Adams, February 15th and 16th. His name rhymes with something. Bob Saget, his name also rhymes with something, February 21st through the 23rd. One Night Only, Joselito de Puppet, no rhyming here, January 27th, 7:30 p.m. Mateo Lane, February 28th through March 2nd. Preacher Lawson, April 4th through the 6th. Samuel J. Comro, April 18th through the 20th. Always big shows here at Comedy at the Carlson, so make sure you check out our website, carlsoncomedy.com. You can also call 585-4-COMEDY for tickets right this very second. Hope to see you at a show. All right, everybody, we are back. Welcome. We are joined in studio today by our guest, our headliner this weekend, our headliner extraordinaire. He's a writer, comedian, actor, Chris Frangiola, everybody.
Wow. Thank you. What a rousing ovation. I feel blessed to be here in Rochester, so, which I people tell me I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. I was saying Rochester, and people think it's not Rochester. It's Rochester. And they were very angry at me.
When radio stations are trying to be cool.
Okay.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, yeah. Oh, it's fun for that reason.
Frat kids call
it
Rochester, man.
Right. Yeah.
Like, if you've ever played beer pong in this town, I'm sure you've called it Rochester.
Rochester, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Yeah, because I'm from a town called Ronkonkoma on Long Island, and that, like, when back in the days of, like, rock and roll radio, they called that Ronkonkoma. So you get what I'm saying.
Oh, I know it. I get exactly what you're doing. My question is something I've always wanted to know. Is how the hell do you spell Ronkonkoma?
Ronkonkoma. 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 It's the last stop on Long Island Railroad. At least it used to be. Now,
so judging by the way you spell that so quickly, they really indoctrinated you as kids, didn't they?
Well, the only reason I can spell that quickly is because we used to, you know, you play horse with the basketball? We used to play Ronkonkoma instead of horse. So that's how I know how to spell it.
Those kids still play it right now.
Right. Yeah, so that's how I know it, Ronkonkoma. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I've got to ask one thing I noticed about Long Island, and this is when I saw you were from Long Island, I got to ask this.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys have those crazy-ass roundabouts where, like, the signs have, like, 9 different directions on
them? No, but I've been to cities that do have them. We don't really have the round, but, I mean, I don't live on Long Island anymore unless they're building them recently. Yeah. But they have a lot in the South, those roundabouts. It's a disaster.
I pulled up on a motorcycle once on Long Island, and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like it had like it was a circle with.
I think everyone just kind of goes into the roundabout and just kind of pretends they know what they're doing. I don't think anyone knows what they're doing in those things.
Well, what you're supposed to do, from what I understand, is you're supposed to start through the circle. Then when you get halfway, you have to spell Ronkonkoma. And then
you're able. Yeah. Ronkonkoma. And then you're out.
There's some rules.
Yeah. And now, are they supposed to ease traffic? I don't really. It feels like it just makes traffic worse, but I'm told it eases traffic.
I'm a fan of the roundabout in general.
Are you?
But the ones that I encounter.
This is a conversation I never thought I'd be having this morning.
Yeah,
to parallel park, you have to get out and shoot a free throw, and then you can make it a car. Ronkonkoma is a weird place.
Ooh, it is a very strange place.
So let's not talk about traffic, you boring old man.
If you ever saw Grizzly Man, you ever see that documentary, Grizzly Man?
Did I?
About the guy who goes and lives with the bears in Alaska?
Yeah.
Timothy Treadwell. And then he's from Ronkonkoma. He's one of our claims to fame.
Mm.
Timothy Treadwell winds up getting killed at the end of that movie.
Oh, he does. Yes, they never play the audio, but I hear if you listen to it, he's like, R-O-K-O-M-A!
As the bear's eating him. He managed to get it completely spelled out before the bear tore out his larynx.
Were you the most famous person person from Ronkonkoma.
I like to think I am. I like to think I'm the most famous person, but he is from Ronkonkoma. And then also, actually, was my high school girlfriend, a girl named Moira Kelly, who was the star of a movie called The Cutting Edge. I don't know if you ever saw The Cutting Edge. It's this D.B. Sweeney plays an ice skater.
I was going to say it's about
plays,
ice skating.
Yeah, she plays an Olympic figure skater. He's a hockey player, and they get together and make ice magic. And she's from Ronkonkoma as well.
I think it's called Frozen.
Yeah, she's from Ronkonkoma as well. So we have a few people.
This movie sounds enchanted. Mm-hmm. So okay, so you were one of the top three Ronkonkoma's favorite.
I like
children.
To think so. I like to think I am. Yeah. Okay.
I think you're solidly in the top.
Well, they
three.
Have in my high school. They have a wall of fame. And I'm not on it, and I'm very. There's a girl who came in like 10th on The Voice is in it, and a couple, and I'm not. So Timothy Treadwell's in it.
He got eaten by a bear. That's all he did.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I can do that.
I figured this out, Chris. Here's what we're gonna do.
Okay.
You hear me out on this? Please. I got a plan for you. Okay.
Go ahead. I need to get on the Wall of Fame in my high school.
Here's how we're gonna do it. Simple. The cutting edge.
You.
Cutting edge.
That's how
God
we do
damn it.
It. Yeah, we're gonna
cutting edge two.
It's already been done. They did it. They made
did
one.
Two.
They made two.
Three.
It was
okay.
Three. Yeah, three.
Here's what we're gonna do with three. You're gonna play the hockey player.
Okay.
We're gonna
get
Maura back.
Okay.
And instead of making ice magic, you're gonna teach her how to play hockey.
Oh, this is not a bad idea. Okay.
See, what you're going to do is you're going to flip it and reverse it.
Okay.
A reverse cutting.
Yeah.
Flim, 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 flam.
Flip down and reverse it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Okay.
All right. High school, then I'll make the...
And if that doesn't work, I will eat you.
And then I'm in. Yeah. I think most of the people on the Wall of Fame in my high school are dead in tragic ways. I think that's the way to get in.
Oh, is Moira dead?
She's not. I haven't seen her in a long time. I don't know what became of her, but
career-wise,
yeah, career I think she's dead. it happens.
It does happen.
Yeah.
So growing up in Ronkonkoma, where did you even see stand-up comedy?
Place called East Side Comedy Club. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's Governors now. You know, you guys.
Governors and Ronkonkoma.
Governors, Levittown, is three of them. Governors, comedy clubs, those guys. They're like real mob-run situations now, but they used to be, you know, kind of fun places. And I started a place called McGuire's.
Okay.
It's been out there forever. It's like a really, you know, kind of shithole club out in Long Island. That's where I went. Mm. I mean, there's so many comedians from Long Island. It's crazy. Like, you know, Eddie Murphy and Romano and Kevin James and Rosie O'Donnell and all the Schumer. They're all from Long Island. I mean, somebody should do a documentary on how comedy, why and how it all from this little area.
Fallon's
the biggest comedians
too,
in the world. Yeah, I think so.
It must be a crazy, depressing place that everybody
I think that's
comes
what
out
it
of
is. I think it's like a Seinfeld. I mean, they're all from Long
that's
Island.
That's true.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Interesting. So you're coming up. You're a young guy. How old were you when you first did stand-up?
I mean, 18, 19, I started.
But so, then, like, you're right out of high school.
Right out of high school. I was an electrician working at the Local 3 IBW, working in the World Trade Center as an electrician. And I was doing stand-up at night, you know, just, like, open mics and stuff. And I was good. I was good kind of right out of the gate, I thought. You know, you think you're good, and then you look back on it like, oh,
relatively
my God,
speaking,
I was hard. But in the open mic world, I was better than most.
See, and that's the thing about the open mic world. I always say the cream always rises to the top.
Right, I totally agree.
And here you are headlining. But the thing about open mics are it's really easy to get a terrible impression of what your skill level is.
Yes.
If all you're doing is open mics.
Oh, it's the
because
worst.
Because if you're killing it open mics, that's great.
Yeah.
Everybody else might be really, really bad.
It's so painful now for me to go and like sit in an open mic now. Yeah. And I feel bad that I do because I can't watch bad comedy anymore. And it's fucking painful to watch. I can curse on this, right?
Oh, all day long.
I can't. I just can't do it anymore. I can't sit and watch new people. I don't know how you make it in comedy anymore. There used to be, you know, ways to kind of get on.
I believe it's called Instagram.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I don't know the angle anymore. You know, had a. Thank God I came at a different time, and I was able to kind of, you know,
go up through the conventional.
Yeah,
in 20
you know,
years, the ones who
right,
made it now
right,
are going
right.
to say, "Thank God I came through in that time."
I mean, I got lucky just being like Chelsea Lately blew me up. You know, that was a show that you were able to go on, you know, become a headliner just from being on that show 5 or 6 times. You
it
know?
Really was a kingmaker kind of show.
It was. It was like, I don't think there are, I mean, even like a Fallon now doesn't do anything for you. You get a couple of sets on Fallon, and it doesn't mean shit. But Chelsea Lately was the last show that I believe blew up comedians. If you were on, you know, every night you could be on that show. And, we 15, 20 people became huge headliners from
I'm
that show.
I'm thinking about that statement, and I'm trying to analyze that in my brain, that it was the last show.
But can you think of another show? So
I think you might be right.
T.J. Miller was the first guy who came out of that. Yep. Natasha, Whitney, Cummings, yeah. Josh Wolf, me, Fortune Fiends, all those guys, everybody from that. None of them were ever on TV before that show. And you were able to just kind of create. You didn't have to do material, which was great. You didn't have to do a set, but you could still be funny. Joe Coy, all these guys came from it. And, I think we need another one of those to really kind of pop. Let comedians be comedians and without doing sets. I mean, there's that one on True TV where it's like a game show, where they kind
sure.
of fight each other or whatever. But I don't know if that's doing anything for anybody.
What do you think dwindled the power of, like, The Tonight Show and all those late night shows? I mean, what do you think? What about it doesn't get you as far as it used to?
I don't think people watch anymore. I certainly don't think people watch to the end.
No, I don't. I watch it in clips on YouTube.
Right. So does everybody.
I watch all
so
the late night shows. But
and
I watch
honestly,
it the, next day.
The fact that they're still booking comedians is thank God, because there's nobody who goes, God, I can't wait to stay up till the comedian always comes on last on all those shows. So. You know, people will watch.
I need my nightly laugh before I go to
Right, that. Exactly. Oh, I can't wait to watch whoever, some guy you never heard of sure. at 12, 45 or whatever they come on.
Right.
So I just think it's that. I mean, I don't think people stay up late anymore. Like, even this club, the 10 o'clock show, it's like, people look at 10 o'clock, they're like, are you fucking kidding me? 10 o'clock.
But it's also not L.A. or New York.
But even still, L.A. and New York, same thing. Like,
they still run late in New York.
New York, perhaps, but not in L.A. Like, I remember reading stories about Robin Williams. Robin Williams used to say he wouldn't go up until midnight or beyond, ever. He would never go on stage before midnight. Like, can you imagine fucking midnight at a comedy club now? They're empty. Like, even the Comedy Store. By the time midnight rolls around, Brody Stevens is going on at fucking 12:45, making no sense, screaming about the 818 or whatever. And I love him. I love Brody.
Yeah,
but
he's the guy.
He's the one of those dudes who goes on and, there's three people left in the room when he's screaming about Glendale. Yeah. So
he just loves it.
It's amazing. You guys know Brody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He literally can talk about the corner of in a Burbank, and I'm like, people have no idea what you're talking about. You're talking about a store on the corner of Vineland and Magnolia in Burbank.
These three people.
Yes. Right. Right. No. Right. Yeah. So it's amazing. He's one of the greats. Completely insane. He was our warm-up guy on Chelsea Lately for many years, so I've dealt with Brody for a long, long time.
Dealt with Brody.
He went through like a lot of breakdowns while we were there. He literally had to take him out in shackles a couple of times.
He does seem like
the
guy
cops
you
would come, and they were I don't know if it was an act or he might have been like Andy Kaufman-ish sometimes. I don't know what he was doing, but he's insane.
But that's what makes him unique.
I agree.
I think the crazier you are, the better you are at comedy. And that's something you can't fake.
You can't fake. Yeah. That's true.
You have to be authentically mad to be a good
He's
comedian.
A wild one. Yeah.
So you are 18, 19 years old. You're starting to hit open mics. You're
starting
to
hit open mics in New York City.
In New York City.
Yeah.
Now you're an electrician. You're working in the World Trade Center.
At
what point did things start to pick up for you that you decided that comedy is where you wanted to go?
Well, I went to Los Angeles to be an actor. I felt like I just talked about this, but I was on that radio show, so I was telling the story. I went to do a show called Vietnam War Story. It was HBO's first television series, and it was about Vietnam. And I played a young soldier on this show. Leah Remini played my wife on it.
Girlfriend.
Yeah. She played my girlfriend on it. So
but
yeah,
two lovely Long Island accents, I can imagine.
I know, and the funny thing is, she still uses Brooklyn as her. I'm a girl from Brooklyn. She left Brooklyn when she was
Island
like 2 years
I've
old.
Heard.
But yeah, she is. I still see Leah around a lot, and yeah. So anyway, I went out to do that, but then that was 8 episodes. It was done. I made about $1,000, and then I was like bartending and waiting tables for years and years and years. Doing stand up though, like every night I would be out there doing it. So
in your mind there, I just want to ask you, like, you're trying to make it as an actor, but you're doing stand up.
Well, the acting thing I kind of gave up on.
Okay, yeah,
I kind of really focused on stand up because it was something you could do every night if you chose to. You know, acting, you have to wait around for people to hire you and do it. Yeah. You know, so stand up was something
cameras
that,
around.
Yeah, yeah. Stand up was something you could fucking just do, which I liked. I liked doing it that way. And then when I was coming up, it was a great time and scene. You know, all the guys, you know, like you said earlier, cream rise to the top. Like, these guys were just. It was, you know, Jamie Kennedy back then, and you know, Chelsea Handler, sure. And all the, you know, people are huge now. We're just doing bar shows and stuff, you know.
I heard you met Chelsea when she was like really, really
19
young.
Years old. She had just come to Los Angeles from Jersey, and I like the first show she'd ever done was like this ice house in Pasadena. It used to have like side room. Mm-hmm. Like a shitty little side. And we were doing that show. A guy named Don Boland. I don't know whatever happened to Don. He was a funny guy. He used to run that show. And that was like Chelsea's first time getting up. And I swear she was fucking... Whether you like her stand-up or not, who knows. But I never saw somebody get such a reaction from the audience the way she did. People just loved her. I can't put my finger on why. But they just reacted to her differently than they react to anyone else. I see it happen from time to time, but the fact that she blew up like that, she would go up at the Improv and there'd be 15 people on the bill,
right?
They reacted to her so much differently, and not even because her material was that strong, just it was just different. I'm like, this fucking girl is gonna be huge. I don't know why they're reacting the way they are. Like, they would fucking fall out of their seats at anything she said. And you know, I don't know if you guys you see it in other people. Like, sure, I don't know why that person clicks for whatever reason, but she was just one of those people.
I always feel like I see that with like some of the old Road Dogs,
right?
You know, where you watch them and they're like, he has nothing,
no,
but he's destroying, and I don't understand why.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of angry about it.
It's a presence, yeah. Like, you know, very few people get to that level where. Like, I mean, I know guys who are great comedians. Chelsea, we were selling out, like, you know, arenas at one point for her stand-up. And that now this, I think, I don't know why. It seems like there's a lot more guys at that level selling out arenas and bigger theaters. More than ever, I think, there's guys in theater stuff.
Sure.
But when Chelsea was doing it 5-10 years ago, that was the first, you know, there was Dice. Maybe who else could do a you know, an arena.
We're talking arenas are something completely an arena.
She was definitely the first woman to get to arena level, and it was crazy.
I'm trying to think,
but like, people like to sell 10,000
Joan
tickets.
Rivers didn't even ever do an arena.
Not even close. Joan couldn't sell out fucking but she couldn't sell 2,000 tickets. I don't know, you know, I can't put my finger on why certain people pop, you know. Amy Schumer's a good comedian, but why does she sell theaters? Who the fuck knows, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but it's look at Sebastian.
Sure.
Sebastian just, he's got four nights coming up at Madison Square Garden. Three of them sold out. My mother has no idea who Sebastian Maniscalco is. She, like, my friends, who the fuck is Sebastian Maniscalco? I'm like, he sells out theater, like arenas. It's fucking crazy. Yeah. But I guess it's on, you know, Instagram and shit like that, you know?
You know?
Even Burr's now selling. He sold out the Garden. Yeah. There used to be two guys who could sell out the Garden. Dice, and that's it.
I have to wonder how much of it is like a resurrection of comedy. And how much of it is just people really, really like certain people?
I think it's that. I mean, is there a resurrection of comedy? Do you think there is?
Well, I think that comedy is being produced more than it was. I mean, now that we have so many, we talk about this a lot of the streaming services and stuff like that,
right,
where there's just a ton of stand-up specials being pumped out there all the time.
Yeah.
All sorts of different types. But we just talked about how, like, people aren't watching their comedy at the Tonight Show. They're not watching it on those late night shows.
Right.
But yet, comedians are selling arenas out. There's something. Yeah. There's got to be something going on here that maybe we're not identifying.
I think it's podcasts. I mean, you look at these guys who sell huge. Kreischer, Burr, Segura. They're not on TV. None of them have a fucking TV show. Now, Segura, I don't think Tom's ever been on television.
Right.
But, I mean, I think it's podcast. I think these guys, Rogan. Look at fucking Rogan. Like Rogan's level. Rogan is the new Rogan's Carson. Rogan's Carson. If you do a Rogan's podcast, you're fucking huge. Yeah. Just the next day, you're everything. Your numbers on Instagram are up. Everything. You know, it's crazy. You do three Rogans. You're fucking.
I was
gonna
say, there's not
theaters.
Even a radio kingmaker anymore. Like Stern, no. He doesn't even have comedians on. There's no more Opie and Anthony. That's gone. There's Jim and Sam, but you know they're all
right.
That whole thing that was pumping comics out back in like the 2000s. That's all gone.
Yeah.
Podcasts. Rogan. Holy crap! You might be completely right.
No, Rogan. I just read a thing with the guy who books the Comedy Store wrote this thing, and he said Rogan is the new Carson. He is Theo Vaughn. He's been knocking around forever. He's a good comic. He's a funny guy. Theo did, you know, a couple of Rogan's podcasts, and now he sells out every night. Yeah. Huge.
I think Marin kind of started that with the podcast
too.
He just was. He doesn't do as many comedians as he used to, but initially
he ran out of people to talk to.
Yeah, I know.
But his career was over, and he just said,
"Yeah,
fuck it, I'm going to do
the same with
podcast.
Joe." Really,
and
I
then
mean,
he took off, and then everybody he had on, same thing. Everybody. I got a WTF. Now I'm a big deal again.
Yeah. It's crazy. Good. You know, I love the fact that you could now, as a guy who's been knocking around in Hollywood forever, it's just such a fucking grind having to deal with, you know, producers and agents and casting directors. The fact that you could circumvent it in so many different ways, what we're doing right now. I mean, you don't need these people anymore. It's like Joe Rogan does it out of his kitchen.
In a lot of ways, that management type structure and stuff is going the way of Blockbuster.
I love it. And I think it's great. Yeah. And it pisses them off. Those people never gave Joe Rogan a fucking shot. They never paid any attention to Joe Rogan. But now they're like, fuck, man, how do we not have this guy? Like, his podcast makes millions for people, but they ignored him. They ignored Maron. They ignored all these people. And, you know, I love that Tiffany Haddish. I'll give you Tiffany Haddish.
Sure.
Tiffany Haddish, I know forever. I know you guys probably know her as well. She's been knocking around doing and crushes at the, you know, what you think of her material, whatever. But in the Laugh Factory, in a packed room, you know, in an intimate setting, she crushes. And I've been watching her do it for 20 years. She blows up on, you know, Girl Trip, whatever, and now Hollywood's sucking her dick. Like, she's the greatest ever. I'm like, well, if you fuckers got off your ass and went to a comedy club, which they never do. Agents, managers, they never fucking leave behind their desk. They don't know who's big until you do it first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, then when we got on Chelsea,
and they
Lake,
wonder why they have such a reputation as being disingenuous,
right? So then they're like, "Oh, Tiffany Haddish is the greatest." Tiffany Haddish is the greatest. Well, we all knew that. You assholes didn't know because you don't fucking look. I mean, it bothers me so much that it's the same five. They people tell them who to go after. And listen, all these guys are very talented. Mateo Lane, and at least you're New York guys, very talented. But that there are other ones that are good too. They focus on five people for 2 years. You know what I mean? And then if one of them doesn't pop, they choose five more. And they're the same guys on it. So if you have a panel show, it's the same five people. And then like, why aren't these shows working? I'm like, because you're all using the same five people. We've all seen Nicole Byers' shtick. Not that it's bad. It's good, but she did it on this. She did it on this. She did it on this. That's why when Chelsea Lately came, there was people you never saw before. TJ Miller's a fucking freak, and it was fun to watch him do his thing.
Right.
We didn't use it wasn't the same. We have people were never managers didn't know who the fuck any of us were.
Right.
They didn't pay attention to Chelsea Lately. We were in season four before anyone noticed anything. We had already been doing, and then everybody, we got to get on Chelsea Lately, got to get on Chelsea Lately. That was the show to get on. Like, every fucking guy got to get on Chelsea Lately. But nobody cared. And that's what angers me as a guy who's been in it so long. And I love the fact that now you could do this shit and just kind of, you know what I mean? You don't need them anymore.
Though, what's amazing is, you know, you shouldn't be angry because you actually were on it.
you know what I'm saying? It was a fluke. Yeah, it was a complete fluke. Chelsea called me and said, come and write on a show called, well, the first thing I did with her was Chelsea Handler Show, which is basically, it was a ripoff of the Chappelle Show. E wanted to get into comedy. They hadn't done comedy before, and they were like, let's make, you know, Chelsea, at that point, was like a talking head. Remember, they had those, like, pop-up comedians would pop up and comment on I Love the 80s and that kind of stuff. And she was kind of becoming like, you know, the standout of those type of shows.
Testing high, baby.
Yeah, yeah. And so she did the Chelsea Handler show, which was sketches. And I worked on that with her. So we did 8 episodes of that. And then the guy's like, let's make it a late night, have her 5 nights a week. And that was it. So it was a fucking fluke. They told me I was going to be there 8 weeks. Like, it's an 8-week contract. I was there 8 years, you know, and it was, but nobody knew that was going to happen. So I had no business being a television writer. I didn't know much about it. But I've had a good career as a television writer, not even know where to put a comma. I still don't know where to put a fucking comma. But you know,
somebody else takes
care of that. Yeah, exactly. There's people, you know, but I did it. I somehow made it. You
My
know?
Hero.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the worst.
I'm the worst.
I'm the worst.
I think everyone
grammar.
Is. I think everyone's kind of just half-assing their way through it, you know?
I've been a professional writer for 20 years, and I don't know what a dangling participle is.
No,
no,
I couldn't tell
clue.
You. Yeah.
That's the thing that got George W. Bush elected in 2000.
Yeah. Oh, that was
Thank
a topical
you. Thank
reference.
You.
I could have had a TV
hanging,
writer
yeah.
in 2000.
Chads.
So you're back into this job.
Yeah.
They say to you, you're doing a late night show, and you're there. You're in the building. They give it to you.
Right.
Where do you even start when that happens? Like, I mean, was she surprised they gave it to her, or was she?
Yes. That's why it was great. All of us were kind of coming up like, wow, this is. When we started, we started. Is this boring to talk about?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
We started. We thought we couldn't have comedians on the round table because. We were like, nobody's going to watch comedians that nobody knows. So we had B-list celebrities. Our roundtable used to be Scott Baio, Barry Williams, Ron Jeremy. These are the people we'd have on. Our first guest ever was Steve-O. He was like, that's who we would have, like people like that.
Right.
And so every night we'd have some other we had Barry Williams, Greg Brady on like every fucking night. And Chelsea was just like, these guys, I can't talk to fucking Scott Baio anymore. So one day she says, get Josh Wolf. I don't know if you know Josh Wolf. Josh a couple weeks ago. Yeah, so Josh and I were working upstairs, right? And she goes, go get Josh and Frangiola and bring them down. So I come down, and we were on the round table, and it just fucking clicked. All of a sudden, Chelsea's alive because she's talking to people she knows, and we're talking about topics of the day, Lindsay Lohan, blah blah, and it's just more fun. And then from that point on, she's like, no more fucking all comedians. And
see,
poor Scott.
And then she's like, then Scott Baio with that. And then she's like, and just my friends. She's like, I just want my friends to be on the show every day. And
you think Scott Baio got the Chelsea bump when he was on there? I'm just wondering. Like the
no, because
he didn't get the bump from there.
It didn't work.
I don't think that's how
I was kidding.
How he got arrested
and
development.
I killed the flow. I'm the worst. But I guess my question here is, who originally thought that Barry Williams and Scott Baio were good ideas?
I think it was just, you know, nobody knew E. You know, they wanted like just, I thought that was a good idea to have him talk about pop culture, you know? And I mean, I guess on paper it does sound kind of fun listening to Barry Williams talk about
Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan.
And
but he was like, Barry Williams, listen, I'm a Brady Bunch fanatic, but the guy's like slow or something. He kept calling Chelsea, he kept calling her Chesney. And we're like, dude, I was like, it's Chelsea. And he's like, oh, okay, I got it. Go back. Anyway, Chesney, we're like, are you fucking retarded? Her name is Chelsea. Like, it's not
Johnny Bravo says
like
it's Chesney.
Yeah, it's not a name that you haven't heard before.
It
like, Chelsea.
Infinitely more likely her name is Chelsea than it's Chesney.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, where'd you get Chesney? That's not even a fucking name. Like, it was hard to deal with that guy. He was just, he's got like something wrong in his head.
It was
Chelsea. You know, I dated Florence Henderson once. Oh my God, shut up.
We had her on a lot too. She was wild. Like working with those people when I was just like a nobody. I was still bartending. I would work all day on Chelsea Lately, and then I'd go bartend at night.
You're kidding me.
And I was on the show. And this was on every night to the point where I was bartending, and people were like, didn't I see you on TV last night? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I don't know when that show's going to end.
What are you doing here? What do you want
to drink? Yeah. So I was like literally doing both for a long time. I kept my bartending job 2 years into Chelsea. I was still bartending to the point where Chelsea's like, you can't fucking do it anymore. Like, it's embarrassing that you're still bartending. And I finally had to quit. and haven't gone back since. But I was right up to the end.
Did you say to Chelsea, pay me more?
Like, no, I was making good money, but I come from like a blue collar working class. Like if this shit ends tomorrow, I'm like, shit, I have to. And I actually enjoyed bartending. It was fun.
You can't get that job at the World Trade Center back.
No, that was gone. So yeah. So
Jesus.
Weirdly
Christ,
enough, I still man. Do. I did. Jesus. I was an electrician, and I did a lot of work on Chelsea's house. I still do a lot of that shit. So I do it all. I'm
I am
there.
Sad that I miss Florence Henderson talking about Britney Spears' vag, though.
That was like one of our thinking back on those stories. That's when that story was huge for us. Tiger Woods shit. Remember when that all went down?
Did you just squee with joy when you saw
our biggest day ever was when that, remember Britney Spears' sister? She got pregnant when she was like 18 years old. And I remember it was like fucking breaking news for us. Like, what? Hugh, people running into the office. Like, she's Jamie Lynn Spears. That kid's got to be 20 years old now. But
do you feel weird? Like when you're in that, like comics, I don't feel weird about making fun of anything. I just made a 9/11 joke, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
But like when you're on that show and like you're doing that particular type of news, obviously it's the E! Network.
Yeah.
Do you feel weird making fun of like an 18-year-old girl?
You know, we said some things and we could never get away with these days. We literally would go on there and call Mariah Carey fat. You know, you could, if you get fired tomorrow if you did that, you know what I mean? But we said horrible things about people to the point where we had a lot of guest hosts. Mm-hmm. Towards the end, Chelsea was, you know, kind of phoning it in. So we had Dave Grohl hosted a lot and we had some great people do it. But
I'd watch Grohl lately.
Oh, he was the best. He was like such a naturally funny guy, like almost like stand up level funny. That's how good he
was.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of that guy. Every time I hear an interview with him, he makes me laugh.
He was great at it and loved doing it. Like he was like he liked hosting and being like he should host a late night like show where he has bands and comics because he's fucking great at it. Anyways, we had him a lot, but a lot of the guys would come in. And we would give them these jokes, and like, I'm not saying that about that. There's no way I'm saying that about that person. Like, that's a friend of mine. We're like, oh, yeah, I guess it is a shitty thing to say about people. But we just did it so many years, we didn't even know it was bad to shit on everybody. So, yeah, toward the end, there were people like, do you know Dax Shepard?
Yeah.
We had Dax Shepard, and he's a super, it's like a sweetheart of a guy. And we would give him these jokes, and he's like, I can't believe you talk about people like this. I'm not saying that about these people. And then he came on and was like really nice. And like,
did Dax know what show he was going on?
Yeah, in a way he knew, but I don't think they watched it every night, so they didn't know what. And to their credit, I understand. Like he's like, I have to go back to work in Hollywood tomorrow.
Yeah.
I can't do this. You guys, this is your fucking life. You've made this world that Chelsea Handler could shit on anybody because that's what she does. Me, I have to go back and work the people I'm shitting on.
Now, there was some hullabaloo towards the end, though.
About Chelsea?
No, yeah. Didn't you guys get in, like, I remember just on the news, like, people be like, oh, Chelsea said something horrible.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It's when
it
she...
It seemed like the longer
she,
it got.
Yeah,
maybe the bigger it got, the more
it's bigger
people.
It got where people... We started to get, like, you know, we were the
you
show
were
to come to.
A victim of your own success there because you had something really awesome under the radar.
Right, exactly. And it was more fun... We were at this little studio on like Bundy and Olympic, little tiny little shit studio for the first 5 years. Then we blew up. We all signed huge contracts to stay 3-4 more years. We went to a brand new gigantic stage one at Universal. They made us this ridiculous, and then the fucking wheels came off. Everybody on this started becoming bigger, you know, all the comedians, and then everyone was asking for more money. And watching that, I remember Chelsea pulled up in a crazy like Tesla, and one of the writers, Steve Marmelstein, he goes, it's over. Once I saw that fucking car pull up, I'm like, she's not the person we used to know from Jersey. She's like a different person now. And it was, that was the point where I'm like, oh, you know, we had 50 Cent when she was dating 50 Cent. That's when it was like, oh shit, this is a whole different. They were like going back and forth of who could have a fucking sicker car. Like 50 Cent would pull up in some crazy Rolls Royce. Next day, Chelsea would have a bigger Rolls Royce. I'm not fucking around. They really did. They were like, look at my fucking $180,000 car. Well, I have a $190,000 car.
Healthy. It's a healthy relationship.
Healthy, yeah. Man, that's when. But it happens to everybody. Like it happened. I think it's happened even like I've heard. I haven't seen Sebastian's act. lately, but I think Sebastian Maniscalco is fucking as funny as it gets. That's a guy who is a perfect comic for everybody. Like, he can, you could be an 8-year-old kid and watch his act, an 80-year-old woman and watch his
honestly, act. Honestly, I think he's like the next Brian Regan in
it's
terms of that.
So yeah. fucking, it's yeah. one of those acts I watch and I'm like, how did I not think of that? He's doing like bits that you're like, fuck, I could have thought it. Like, I've been in that situation, but I didn't think of that joke.
Yeah.
Like the bit he does about answering the door. I don't know if you've seen.
I don't really remember.
Like when you were in the '70s, someone knocks on the door. You're like, oh my god, company's here! And now someone knocks on the door, and you fucking hide.
Yeah.
The bit is so fucking funny and good, but now he's so rich, and I hear he's talking about shit like that, and that's what happened to Chelsea. Her stand-up became like, so I'm flying on this private jet, and people are like, what the? This is not funny to me. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Right. And I hope that doesn't happen with Sebastian. But I see in some of the reviews you can see of his act, they're like, tickets were $250 and you talked about, you know, flying on private jets.
Sure.
And maybe that
I guess with stand up comedy, the thing to remember is, and I don't judge people too harshly on that, because I think you can write funny jokes about riding on a private plane that people can relate to. I think it can be done.
You just get lazy. You don't have to anymore.
There's a couple of things that happen here, I think. Like, when you get into the psychology of the fan who's watching this, they're like, this was Chelsea, this was the person who, you know, this was my girl, you know. She was talking about riding in her, you know, Cavalier or whatever. She's talking about her Tesla. So you go from, it's great that she's doing well, but this isn't for me anymore.
Right.
I think that does that. But also, people start to become resentful when they see other people get successful. And turn them
totally
off. So there's like,
there's
a couple of ways that I could see that definitely would hurt your fan base.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it doesn't mean you sold out or that you even did anything wrong. But stand up comedy is about you, and if that's the life that you're living, that's what you're naturally talking about.
Yeah.
So I think that there needs to be a little bit of understanding on both sides there.
I mean, you've seen it. You see it happen to everybody. Once you get to a certain level, like it happened to Eddie Murphy. Like, shit's just not funny anymore. When you can't pay your parking tickets, that's funny. But when what's that song by Guns N' Roses? It's so easy. When everyone's trying to please me. When everyone's trying to please you, life just isn't funny anymore. I believe. I don't know.
First Guns N' Roses reference on the show, by the way. Very nice job.
But you know what I'm talking about? You know that song?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a great song.
I totally believe that. When everyone tries to please you, it is too fucking easy. Like when everyone says, that's funny, you have 18 people telling you it's funny, and it's not funny. That happened to Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy was the greatest fucking, to me, I don't think there's a better stand-up comedian. He's better than Pryor, better than Carlin, better than everybody. Eddie Murphy.
I think laughs per minute, I'd give it to Eddie all day long. LPMs, I call him.
And still holds up.
No, you don't.
You watch Eddie, you watch Delirious now, it's still fucking, and that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. Comedy changes, you know, it's such weird, you know, just
stuff
inflections.
That was great, you watch it from the 80s and you go.
You look at Carlin bits now, you're like, was that funny? Then it was, you know. Even watch, you know, Miss Maisel?
I've never seen it.
It's good. But she's basically playing Joan Rivers, and you're like, they have her crushing on the show with jokes that you're like, really?
Right.
But Eddie's stuff is still funny if you watch, you know, Delirious now or Raw now. It's still good. Holds up.
In a way.
But then he got to a point where he was so big that it, you know, he just, I don't think anything's funny anymore. I don't know.
I think people get big enough, they can do whatever they want, so they do.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's part of it. But also, Eddie's probably recognizing, well, this isn't going to work for you or me. Like, if he comes back, like.
Yeah. Oh, you think Eddie's going to come back and do? He keeps threatening to come back and do stand-up.
But what happened when he had an opportunity to do something for SNL's 40th or whatever it was? He walked up and said, "Hey, everybody, I'm Eddie Murphy. Nice to be here. Thanks."
Yeah. I know, it was so disappointing.
That to me just tells me about the mentality of the guy. Is like, I'm not looking to do anything.
Yeah, he doesn't have to. Like, yeah. I think Eddie Murphy at this point just sits back, goes, "I fucking did more than there has not been, and I don't think there ever will be." A person who comes out of the gate, first of all, that good on Saturday Night Live at that age. He was 18 or 19 and fucking crushed Saturday Night Live. That's when the rest of the cast was kind of weak. And he was just blew everybody, you know. And then Phil Hartman came later, and like stronger
and
people.
Piscopo were quite.
Yeah, I mean Piscopo was good on Saturday Night Live. Sure. He was very good. But Eddie Murphy just was crazy. And then he goes to do 48 Hours. He's 20 years old. The movie is fucking phenomenal.
Lights out, Nick Nolte.
Trading Places after that, and like, is there anybody at that still to this day who's come out of the gate like that with two movies in a row, Trading Places and 48 Hours, that are, I mean...
Nowadays, the second movie is what screws everybody up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. For me, that was... I don't think that happens anymore
to
anybody.
I'm with you. I've always respected Eddie Murphy, but after talking to you, I respect him more.
You should. He's the best. Right. He's the best. There's nobody better at 19 and 20 years old to be that fucking confident and strong and good and a movie star. You watch the beginning of 48 Hours where he's in the jail cell with the fucking hood on and he's basically improvising this scene. It's fucking to have that those balls.
I completely forgot about
dude
that.
From Long Island. Like, where do you get this confidence? It's fucking crazy. That's how, I mean, I could talk about Eddie Murphy. He was my, like, him and Letterman are the fucking kings to me.
Well, that's all well and good, but I have another Chelsea Handler, Chelsea show question.
Go ahead.
The Netflix show.
Yeah, I was not really a part of it. But
I understand
yeah.
that. In your opinion, why do you think that didn't work?
I'll tell you why. I can tell you why. It didn't work for a lot of reasons because, first of all, just speaking of Netflix, it mm-hmm. didn't work because you can't do daily topics on Netflix mm-hmm. because people watch it in weird ways.
That's yeah. what I've always yes. thought, too.
And it's happened. It happened to Michelle Wolf, and it's happening to Hasan Minhaj right now. All good shows.
It happened to a Joel McHale show,
too. Joel McHale, too. Yep. Yeah, exactly. That was the soup, basically.
It was the exact same show.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny. But that topic now, whatever you did, like he's making fun of whatever happened last night. But if you're watching it in a month from now, it just doesn't work.
If I don't catch it the next morning,
right.
I'm not going to
Right.
I'm just
so
going to let it go.
I think Netflix was trying it. You know, they tried it with Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And then I think Chelsea... People didn't know Netflix wanted Chelsea Lately again. They basically, that's what they asked for. They said, we want another Chelsea Lately. And she didn't want to do it. She just did not want, I think she's changing her mind a little bit now. She's getting more just in our personal talking to mm-hmm. her. We're friends still, you know, at talk. And she likes to talk more, but she was so politically fucking Trump, fuck this, fuck him. And I think it got too much.
That
I think
isn't
people
get anybody.
I think people
right
wanted
now.
Chelsea Handler to be Chelsea Handler, and she didn't want to be Chelsea Handler anymore. And yeah. I think they just weren't buying her. Nobody was going to Chelsea Handler for that political, you know, news. You had right. people to do. You watch CNN or Fox or whatever you watch for that. And then Chelsea wanted to be, you know, Barbara Walters, and nobody was buying it. So I think okay. that was a problem.
Let me ask you this question: 2019. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of attitudes in the world have changed since, you know, Chelsea right. Lately premiered.
Oh, man. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like,
a whole different
I mean,
world.
What is it? 10 years ago that show premiered, maybe?
Yeah. It's actually,
in
yeah.
a decade, we'll say.
Yeah.
Society has gone, like the line, whatever the proverbial line is
right.
flipping around all sorts of different places. Do you think that show, if it started up today,
no. Absolutely
would
not.
Have a prayer?
No. We couldn't even do it. We would be sued and fired every day. But I also say this, and you guys, you're out there in the world. Do you think it's that bad? I think we're making it worse than it is. I don't think it's that politically correct. I think it's a cop out for like what Kevin Hart wrote and said, and the reason why he's not hosting the Oscars was a fucking stupid thing to say. I know the people go, yeah, we're too politically correct. You can't say fag, and it's like, well, you shouldn't say fat. Like,
right.
I'm not trying to be, you know, Mr. fucking liberal, you know, LA guy, but those are shitty, lazy jokes that Kevin Hart did. Yeah. And I know they were a long time ago and but I don't, like, you could do, you could still do those things. I see people doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think it's becoming a little bit of a cop out now. But, like, oh, why can't I say that? It's like, because you shouldn't. It's, you know
sure.
what I mean? Am I being too much of a...
100% sure. It's like the same argument when you talk to someone who says, like, well, if black people could say the N-word in rap music, how come I can't
exactly.
do it?
Right,
well,
right.
Well, because you just shouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm with you there. I guess my thing is, though, Do you think that maybe the issue isn't so much what you say, it's who sees you saying it?
100%. I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I also think the when people
look at this weatherman here in your city. Like, I mean, it was obviously a slip of the tongue, I believe.
Well, it took me a while to figure that out myself, thinking about it. But then when I was talking to a couple people and I heard a couple speech pathologists discussing I need one.
You need
I
one
obviously
now.
Need
Don't
one.
You dare
you
say.
You didn't talk to one long enough.
discussing, like, saying King and Junior.
Right.
And mixing. And basically what he would have said if he kept speaking, if he didn't stop himself, was Cunier.
Cunier.
Which is way worse.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But, I mean, like, okay, I get that. Like, he just mixed the words. Okay, I'm there. But I also, the first thing that popped into my brain was back in the day listening to Stern when he used to have that Klans guy on there.
Oh, my God.
Who was always going, Martin Luther Coon. He was always saying that stuff. And
what
calling Robin the N-word and Howard
his name?
And Jew.
Daniel
Carver.
Daniel Carver. Yeah.
Like,
Daniel
he said
Carver.
It all the time on there. So when I heard it, I went.
Yeah.
And I don't blame anybody for having a gut reaction to hearing it.
Yeah.
No.
Was it an accident? Yeah, I'm leaning that way.
But it was an accident. He's probably made it before.
Really?
You know, I think maybe.
Well, the other thing is, I don't understand.
I'm
like, I know what a local weatherman makes, especially in Rye. Like, who gives a shit? You lost a $15,000 a year job. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, they make fucking no money. And
hey, Jeremy, start a podcast.
Yeah. But, like, who cares? Like, go to another market. And
but, like, the you haven't been here, but the amount of outrage that we've seen over this, I also think
it's
sometimes.
Like
a racist weather
story.
Guy would be huge down south.
Fuck yeah. Go down there.
Being in my 40s now, like, I do think sometimes, and I know it sounds like kids these days, but when you get so outraged over everything,
right?
I no longer care. You know, like, sometimes I just can't. How do they have time to be so mad?
He just looks at the kids and goes, they just
says.
Are feeling
it's,
too much.
Isn't it fake mad, though? Are people really,
yeah, that's what
like,
I'm saying.
I don't think anyone's really mad. I think we all get caught up in it. We're talking about it. Yeah. Listen, when all that Me Too shit was going down, waking up, remember that 2 weeks where every day another guy would fucking fall? And it was so fun to wake up that morning.
What was LA like?
It was so fun to wake up in the morning.
Like
the funny thing, I would turn to the Today Show always. I would always turn to the Today Show to see who fell.
Right.
And then I would turn on Today Show one day, I'm like, where the fuck is Lauer? I'm like, oh, shit. And then I go over to CBS, and CBS, and Charlie Rose is gone. I'm like, this is fucking crazy. Like, I don't know. I who knows? Is it a different world? Yeah, it is. But maybe it's better that fucking Harvey Weinstein is not around
better.
Anymore.
I'm
you
not
know?
Saying that. It's absolutely better. But there are some things that I wish some people would just let go.
Like, well, what? Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you.
I listen to young comics now just constantly bitching about PC culture and stuff like
but
that.
But they're always complaining. Yeah.
Then
find a way to fucking. Then make it funny without having this, you know, there's like PC culture is a fucking cop out. It's a cop out. You could still be funny. It's bullshit saying we can't be funny anymore. It's total bullshit.
Absolutely. See, here's
go
where
to
I think it
comedy
hurts.
Club. Come see me tonight at the fucking Comedy at the Car. I'm fucking hilarious for 45 minutes to an hour. And I do some shit that's probably edgy. And, but it, you could certainly, there's, it could definitely be funny.
Sure.
To say you can't, comedy's dead is
here's
bullshit.
The problem.
The thing that I don't like is the comics who aren't funny yelling at the guys who are because they choose to say, oh, he shouldn't have said
right,
that.
Right.
So he's a piece of shit.
Now here's what happens from that.
Okay,
there's fallout from that too, where when you have a new comic, I think one of the first things that you have to learn how to do, if you're ever going to try to perform on stage, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you got to kind of figure out where the line is.
Yeah.
And if the second you try to go anywhere, you put a toe towards that line, someone freaks out at you.
Yeah.
You're never going to find it, and you're always going to be throwing out vanilla garbage that just
isn't,
you know?
Yeah.
I just think it hurts young comics because they're scared to try stuff.
Yeah, you're giving TED Talks at that point. You're not doing
but
stand-up.
But here's the thing. The cream rises to the top.
Always. That's the best part about comedy, I find, is if you do it long enough and you're good at it, you'll get success. There are different variations of success. You know, there's Chelsea Handler, Kevin Hart success, and there's, you know, there's a fucking headliner, you know, club weekend guy,
yeah.
and everywhere in between. And I've watched, as you guys probably have, every person I started out with 25 years ago who was good is now successful in comedy. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. Not one guy that I go, that guy was so good, what happened to him? They're all, or even the other way. I'm not, there's not guy who's successful. I'm like, this fucking guy's successful for, you know, why? Some people, you know, their comedy's not my style, but I get why they're who they are.
Sure.
You know?
And that's what's great about comedy.
Totally.
That's what's great about comedy is. And it's also the thing that sucks about comedy is if you're going to do it, do not expect overnight success. None of us are Eddie Murphy at this point, and I don't even think the business necessarily works that way.
You could almost set a fucking watch to 20 years, I believe. 15 to 20 years before you're a solid, good, you know, can fucking work any room headliner. What do you think?
I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
No, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I think it's a 10 at a minimum.
10
at a minimum.
10. And then you look back, if you're 10 years in, you look back at your 10 year when you're 15 and you're like, oh my God, I was fucking terrible. Then you get to 20, you look back at your 15 and go, so I think it's 20 years before you're a fucking polished, you know, like you Saget and all these guys that you're going to, you know, that come to this, you know, this club gets A-lister, A-listers. And those are the fucking guys who've been doing it so long that nothing, you know, can throw them off. And there's that, you look at him, you're like, God damn, you're a pro. And that's 20 years in the making.
Well, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy is I always believe that you got to be working towards something in the comedy business. Like, you've got to be working to get better. You can't just rely on the same stuff. You always have to be working, and you always have to be writing. You always have to be polishing.
Yeah.
So I have a weird reverence and respect for the term comedian.
Okay.
I get flipped out in my own head, and I'm just wondering what your opinion on this is. And my opinion is I don't think anybody should call themselves a comedian until at least 10 years in and people are hiring you. Yeah. What is your stance on that?
My stance, honestly, for me, when I'm among regular people, not my comedian friends, it's still embarrassing for me to say I'm a comedian. It really
agreed.
It's still because I believe in the real world. I'm talking with, you know, I'm hanging out with cops and firefighters. This comedian still is like, oh, you like, they don't, I'm a successful comedian. I make a good living being a headlining comedian. And people's eyes, comedian is still like a struggling, you know, they see, when you say comedian to a regular person, they're like, like open mic comedian? Like, they
That's
know
they
Robin
think.
Williams.
They think of the guy at the bar they
where,
saw.
Where,
right.
Where do you do your skits?
Exactly. Yeah. That's
fuck,
what but,
you
right,
said.
You
that,
get you yeah. like. So,
I'm gonna put this screwdriver in you if you ever say skits.
Oh my
to me
god!
Again.
Like my girlfriend.
Say skits to me. I dare you.
My girlfriend's from. She's a very. She's like born and raised in Beverly Hills, a very affluent family, and we'll go, you know, have Thanksgiving or whatever. And I'm sitting there with her, all these people, and she's like, "Chris is a comedian." I'm like, "No, please don't tell people that. That sounds so bad." I don't know if you feel that way too.
I do.
Stop, comedian. Like, tell them I'm a TV writer. Anything but comedian.
Yeah, TV writer.
Because then people say you say you're a comedian.
Would you write? Chelsea Lately.
Do your bits. So what do you? Yeah. But you can put that in your bit. Put that in your bit.
Yeah. And I can.
I used to do a joke.
I can put my foot in your ass.
I used to say, as a comedian, a lot of people will tell you you can put this in your bit, and I used to do it. I'm like, so here's a few that I'm going to put in my bit. And I used to do it. This was one my father said, put in your bit. And it would make no sense. And I'm like, yeah, so that my father was wrong about
Didn't
that.
Work?
Here's another one. Yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. So those are, it's just, it's still embarrassing to say a comedian. But yeah, last night, Thursday night show, we had a girl come up and do 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And she was fine for 5 minutes. She's just like, I'm so exciting to do comedy. It's my fifth time doing it. And she was good. I said, you know, You're in a crowd that's gonna, you know, be supportive of you.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the way it is.
I know.
You're gonna suck.
Yep.
This isn't a
comedy. You're gonna suck for 14 years, if you choose to continue on in this. And which I'm seeing a lot of now. And I told her this. I said, I'll give you one piece of advice. You have 2 minutes of material right now, and not even two.
How dare you?
Yeah, but then
how dare you?
But don't
tell me that that I only have 2 minutes. That's what I see when people do. They flip out.
But also, I'm think these people are now doing longer sets you shouldn't be doing. Like, she's like, I'm going to do 15 minutes. I'm like, You don't, because no, you're going to suck, and it's an eternity when you suck. 15 minutes is a fucking eternity when you're a bad comedian. And why do that to yourself? You don't have that time, and you're only going to feel shitty about it when you leave that club. And you're like, so stick to 5 minutes for the next 10 years. Stay with your 5 minute set, because that's all you have.
Whether you're changing stuff in, change stuff out, but just work on 5 minutes.
I have a guy that I take with me on the road sometimes. He's an older guy who's just starting comedy, and I went to see him a couple of nights ago in
Todd
Los
Youngman?
Angeles.
Yeah.
Is he in there?
I went to see him a couple nights ago, and he did like a 25-minute set opening for he was opening for Kreischer. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? You don't have that kind of time. And he's like, it sucked. I'm like, yeah, it sucked, because you started 6 months ago. You don't have 25 minutes, and it's in bad. You're going to feel shitty about it.
Yeah,
having to do that. Like, stick to 7 minutes.
That's
five
a really
to seven
good point
minutes.
On it, because like my whole thing is this. I always tell comics, I'm like, listen, respect the business. If somebody's putting on a show and you know you can't do that much time, just because they said to you, hey, do that much time, doesn't mean you should show up and do it. You should have a little bit of common sense and respect for the person who's giving you the stage that you should be able to deliver.
Yeah.
If you can't deliver and you took, then
it's not going to get you far. Everybody fucks that up once or twice when they start.
Totally.
But as long as you learn the lesson right away and be like, oh, I don't want to go through that again.
Everybody thinks they have 15 minutes. Everybody. I'm talking regular people. Oh, I can do 15 minutes. Until you get on stage, you guys know, 5 minutes is a fucking eternity when you're on doing stand-up. Yeah. I mean, since we started this conversation, it's probably been 3 minutes, and it feels like a fucking eternity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling right now.
You're not, though. I actually, this is one of those things that does... It's nice to hear a professional's opinion on, and I think that we actually have a lot of like young comics who watch the show because we try to talk a lot about stand up.
Well, I'll tell you this: I'm the thing I'm most proud of in my life, and I've done some good shit. When I was 19 years old, all I wanted to do was make a living in comedy. I didn't know how to do it. I'm like, I want to make a living in comedy, whether it be writing it, however, mm-hmm. I don't know how to do it. But I found a way, and I do it. For now 20-something years, I've been making a living, and a good one, in comedy. Being a national headliner, playing places like this, or Funny Bones or Improvs around the country, is a skill that I'm more proud of than anything I've ever done. To be a fucking good headliner, there's not many of them. In the world, there's 500 of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's pretty fucking good. Like, there's a lot of fucking guys who can roof, and a lot of guys who could fight fires.
A lot of doctors, a lot of lawyers.
But I'm not shitting you. There's not many solid fucking headliners. And the fact that I worked to get to the point where I could fucking work any room, any night of the week, is fucking fantastic. And you should be proud. Anybody who does it, you guys, everybody, it's something to be proud of. To be a good headliner is something to be proud of.
I had an argument with a guy a while ago who said, he was a blue-collar guy and was kind of shitting on that I'm a comedian and entertainment and stuff.
Right.
And he was like, well, I put my boots on every morning to go to work. And I'm like, well, yeah, and I can't do what you do.
Right.
You can't do what I do.
Yeah.
What is the difference?
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Exactly.
Why do you look down on it just because it's not as physically hard?
I know.
He looks down on it because he's seen your act.
Yeah.
Never had. Yeah. So there.
So he's just, your reputation preceded you then.
But yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, just like the world can't live without what you do if you're a cop, or I could never be a cop.
Yeah.
We can't live without them. Turn off all your entertainment. If you think entertainment's not a real job, don't turn on your computer tomorrow, don't turn your TV in tomorrow. See how long you stay sane.
Yeah, I mean I believe it's for me, I don't know, but I've always kind of been in that world. You know, I was a fucking movie fanatic when I was a kid, and comedy and all that shit. So, entertainment's always been my thing.
I can't wait to see your set tonight.
No, you coming? No.
Okay.
Comedians don't watch other comedians.
That's not.
My shit's funny, though. I'm a good comedian.
I try to watch everybody a little bit when they're in town. I'm not going to sit there and watch your whole set.
No, please don't. Yeah,
I won't. I'll probably drink. Here's how this will work.
We're all comedians.
You'll be on stage.
I'll watch a few bits. Oh, he's all right.
Dora's like, should I stay for your act?
I'll wait for Youngman to get off stage. Yeah. I'm just kidding, Todd. I'm kidding. I love you. I would wait for Youngman to get off stage, make a cup of coffee, come out in, and enjoy.
I'll say this about Youngman. That is a fucking skill as well. To be fucking chill, good feature act and be a good hang and all that shit on the road is the greatest. Because as a headliner, and Todd's a headliner too, he could be, you know, I mean, it's a there's so many asshole features out there who just don't know how to do this game. You know, being with a guy like him, it's just, we've done a few gigs together over the last couple of years. It's just so nice when you got a solid pro like that.
Yeah.
Who can you can hang and be a decent guy.
He does make me laugh like off stage. More,
And just I can fucking have a conversation with, you know, which is I don't know how much you guys are out there headlining, but there's so many times it makes your weekend miserable when you're with a guy who's like, this fucking guy is, I can't even talk to
him. My feature tomorrow night at my show drives me insane.
Oh, really? So it does,
it's me.
But I remember Louis, the FX show, Louis' FX show.
Yeah.
He did an
episode.
Are
we allowed to talk about that?
I know. Okay. It's just so weird that how quickly we all jumped on, what a prick he was. You know, and it's so funny because, let's face it. 5 years ago, he was the god of comedy.
Every single person was like,
I want to be Louis C.K.
Everybody was going all about how Louis the best there ever was.
Listen, his antics were no surprise to me. I knew he did it to Leggero. He did it to Kirkman. You know, so these are friends of mine who I'm like, you know, last night Louis jerked off in front of me. I'm like, Kirkman. I'm like, really? So I knew this shit fucking forever. But then how quickly all the comedians like, fuck him. I was like, wow, that was fast. You guys were kissing his ass fucking 6 months ago. Now it's like, fuck, get this fucking guy out of here. Fuck him.
Did Jen say if he asked?
Can he come back? No, he didn't even jerk on in front of Kurt. I mean, I don't want to talk about that because she'll kill me. But
do I think he could come back?
No,
I don't know. We did a poll last week on, he had that whole thing about the Parkland stuff. We did a poll on our...
Which I understand where he was going with that joke. Honestly, I listened to the whole thing in 45 minutes. That was the funniest joke in the whole set.
You listened to the whole set?
I did. I listened to the whole thing. Did you listen to the whole thing?
No.
I thought it was interesting what Stanhope wrote about it. I didn't even think about that angle. Stanhope's like, take Louis out of the equation. He goes, why is this being released? Like, if you put Hamilton on, pirated Hamilton, it would be taken down immediately. If you pirated a movie and put it on online, but yet stand-up comedy, they're like, fuck it, put it on TMZ and put it on everything. And but nobody pulled it down. It was just like, you just stole his shit. And
well, the problem is, people don't love him right now. And they're going to be able to get away with more.
But anyway, Louis did an episode where it was basically talking about feature act. It was It was Jim Florentine.
Yeah, Florentine.
Yeah, and Florentine was great in that role.
It was amazing.
And he basically played a cool hang feature, and then he winds up getting fucking fucked up. And but anyway, that Louis was a good show. Louis was a talented guy.
I think we can say Florentine dies in the end because no one's going to watch that show anymore.
Yeah,
so you don't have to worry about spoiler alerts or anything.
Yeah.
it's no one's ever going to see
Louis is a talented guy.
Jim.
Looking back on it,
best thing
hearing his set that you just we just heard, the one they taped. Is he the greatest stand-up comedian, or were we all caught up in the hype a little bit?
So here's what I think it was. I think Louis' particular brand of, he's talking about raising kids, but he was doing it in a real, my daughter's being shitty.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It spoke to people in a lot of ways because he was doing it in a way a lot of people didn't. And I think his delivery was different enough that he really endeared himself to a huge audience.
Yeah.
Because he was like a real parent. And I think that really kind of got people on his side. So do I think he was the best ever? No, I don't think he was ever the best ever.
Yeah.
But I do think he was a unique voice.
Oh, definitely.
That got copied by everyone for...
Yeah.
He's a monster of our own creation. I mean,
that's what I'm thinking.
Look at all the stuff we let him get away with for so long. He used his closer for a year. His closer was a child rape joke.
Oh, yeah.
And no one said shit.
He opens that one... special with, I just called this guy a faggot. And then he goes, it says faggot 25 times.
And no one ever said anything about it.
Yeah.
Let him get away with it. And then he whips his cock out. And then we're like, he's a terrible.
Yeah.
He told you all he was a terrible person.
The
every
thing
night.
That fucked him, though, was not even whipping the cock out. It was making standing in those girls' way for future success. He basically was like calling FX and say, don't work with that girl. And yeah. So that's a shitty thing to do. Listen, whatever jerking off, whatever weird things you want to do, like fucking their careers was a shitty thing to do. And that's why he deserves what he's getting, because that's to fuck with people's careers and just make life shittier for, like, it's tough enough to fucking do this game. Like,
you know, he cares.
Life shitty for, you know, Kirkman and all these people. Like, it's just like, don't.
Sure.
Like, listen, we're all fucking weird sexual perverts and shit, but do it on your own time, you know? You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird fucking...
Don't bring it to the office.
Right.
Don't bring it to the office.
That's my point.
You know he cares deeply that this is going on. I know he does, but the way he played it up, this quote after it all was, what are they going to do, take away my birthday?
I know, yeah.
That was just such a... That quote, I was just like, God damn it.
And it's also a weird thing that he's just not touching upon it. Like... You think a guy like that who's that...
He touched upon it a lot. That's why he's in trouble.
Exactly right, yeah.
Hey, yeah. You could see Brian opening for me tomorrow night. I'm just
kidding. Anyway, I got to pee. Can I? All right. Are we done?
Yeah, we can wrap it up.
I think we can. We're going to see Chris tonight and tomorrow night for shows. Visit carlsoncomedy.com. Or get your
Does this thing go out now? Is it live?
It's live right now, and we're going to have it out on YouTube and all that stuff all day.
Did I say anything that's going to get me fired from it? Anytime I do podcasts... It's such a relaxed atmosphere. You feel like you're just talking. You're like, oh, that's going out on the air. So I think a lot of people get in trouble.
The only person you really shit on was Louie, and he can't mess with
you. Yeah, Louie. So. Yeah, he's free to shit on.
He's trying to call FX right now. Nobody's answering. We'll be back with the news with Ross Johnson in just a second. Stay tuned. Bye-bye. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. Really? Really thoroughly enjoy commercials about our own show. That was a good one.
Yeah.
There's so many places to subscribe.
There are so many.
Laughable, Spotify, all those great things. So if you're watching this, please do it. That'd be great. We'd appreciate it. And leave a review if you wouldn't mind. That would make our day. So before we get to the news with Ross today, let's take a second and talk about our great sponsor, shall we, Bri?
Yes, we shall.
Well, we got to talk about Chef Joe for a second, because this guy today may or may not end up having to shutter his business. He named a sandwich after you.
It's a life dream has come true. I have a
probably
sandwich
not for Joe.
After me.
Probably not for Joe. But you do. It's not even a sandwich. You have a burger named after you.
A burger named after me. Yeah.
What's the official title of the burger?
The Brian Ball Boring Burger.
Sums it up.
And I have no idea what's in it, but I just said I trust you. Do whatever you want to do.
So he told me was he was just going to like go down to McDonald's and get a couple of their cheeseburgers and throw them in a cooler in case anybody ordered.
Yeah. And what's the side with it? Did you hear what the side is?
No, what is it?
Tater tots.
Ooh.
Yeah. He nailed me. I've never even said that like I like tater tots, but they're my favorite thing on the planet.
You know, I'll eat those, you know, because they're not named after you, but that sounds pretty good.
My great uncle, Tater.
You're telling me there's a guy who'd run around named Tater Ball?
Yeah. I did have a great uncle, Harry.
Cool story.
Not a lie.
You tried too hard on that joke.
Not a lie. It's a fact. It's not a joke.
Uh-huh. You had an uncle named Harry Ball?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not giving you a laugh. I refuse to give you a laugh.
Hey, it's just a fact that happened.
Okay.
Do with it what you will.
All right. Well, let's talk about food and not Harry Ball. Let's talk about the Bori Burger. You get it at Sapori. They catered an event here.
And my balls have not touched any of these burgers.
I saw Chef Joe at the club last night, and man, they're doing some really cool stuff, like big time stuff. So we're going to announce that here coming up soon. Mm-hmm. But at Sapori Rochester, find them on Facebook and Instagram. They're located inside the Powers Building atrium, or they can cater your very own special event. So check that out. That's Sapori. Next, we got a problem. There we go. Three Heads Brewing.
Mm-mm.
I like Cam today. Mm-mm.
Cam's
like
just, very animated.
Like a good boy who just got his gummy bear vitamin. Mm-mm.
As long as it's the red one.
I'm with you, Cam. I like the green ones. Three Heads Brewing, baby. Let me tell you something. The best beer you're going to find in this burg. Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah,
they really
yeah.
are amazing.
In this burg. You just insulted the entire city.
How is that insulting the city?
What are you, a meteorologist?
Oh.
Too soon. Yeah. Too soon and too unfunny.
That was in bad taste.
That was we're going to call every time you flub a joke a Brian Ball boring burger from now on. That was a real boring burger, Ball.
Unless the burger is absolutely delicious, which you know it will be.
I'm sure it will be because, I mean, listen.
Because I didn't make
You are blessed that Chef Joe made a burger for you that I didn't make it because there would have been hair and like screws and nuts screws? And washers and
poop,
shit in there.
Poop.
Metal, poo. But back to Three Heads Brewing. Delicious beer, awesome music, great shows there every weekend. I was there last Friday night for a little bit, had a couple, and just always a great atmosphere. ThreeHeadsBrewing.com. And last but not least, Iron Smoke Whiskey, baby.
Mm-mm.
The good stuff, available in two fine varieties, Applewood Smoked Whiskey or Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. Mm-mm-mm. Both delicious, both available now. Visit IronSmokeWhiskey.com. Now, it's time for something really exciting. Let's kick it over to our friend, Mr. Ross Johnson. Hold on a second. We're going to kick it over to our friend, Mr. Ross Johnson, on the news.
There we go.
Hey,
hi,
Ross.
Hey, everybody. How's
good
it going?
To see you, buddy. So tell me something interesting.
Okay, so there's a lot of got one or two new things. There's a lot of there are a lot of updates this week. So
okay.
A lot of supplemental. So this is going to be a lot of stuff for, you know, recurring long time. If you've been watching for a long time, you're going to get something extra out of this.
Is Cat Williams back? Okay.
Don't spoil it.
Go
ahead.
Okay, so the new thing is, and I thought this was interesting because we've talked about streaming, the amount of comedy and streaming services and things like that. Sarah Silverman's show, her Hulu show, I Love You America, was canceled. Apparently she was a little surprised by that herself. It was canceled. I think it's interesting because we've talked about all the comedy on the streaming services, but these talk shows in the same
vein
can't seem to get anywhere.
Well, I mean, realistically speaking, from a guy who hosts a talk show, how many goddamn talk shows do we need?
Well, I mean, yeah.
There's a big time difference between a stand-up special and a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Very big difference.
True.
Now, Sarah Silverman's incredibly talented. I'm sure she'll be just fine, but she's also looked at unfavorably by about half of the country, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So she's got, like, even though she's trying to do, like, this healing thing, the knock I heard on this show is that people just didn't find her sincere about it.
Okay.
Because they found her to be, like, already, you know, decided on that she was a liberal, and therefore...
Mm-hmm.
Whatever she said was right. Tainted by that liberal stink.
And I just think, I still like talk show format.
And liberals do the same thing if they hear somebody's a Republican. They
right,
do the
right.
same thing. But I think that when you're trying to do a show unifying America, and you have like that kind of backstory,
right.
I think it makes it harder. So, I mean, I don't think this should be a knock on Sarah. I'm just thinking, I think her heart was in the right place on it.
And I think that format is something that people still are just used to seeing on television.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it seems like it hasn't been able to. I mean, there are plenty of talk shows. It just seems like, it hasn't caught on in terms of people going to a streaming service. And maybe it's current. Maybe because it's current. Maybe with streaming, people like it to be sort of timeless and they can watch
you
it
know,
whenever they want.
It didn't work for Chelsea.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And Chelsea was about as big as you were going to get in that late night talk show
world. And you
think
they'd be cheap, too. You know, I mean, you know, some of the talent costs money, but you think like these streaming services are putting on these big extravaganza series that may or may not get good ratings. You'd think a talk show with like Chelsea Handler or Sarah Silverman would be pretty cheap, but I guess
you're right. But here's also another little piece of this that I think that we forget. I don't think streaming services are quite there yet for providing like daily television type things or the talk show stuff. Like, people binge watched still on, they just binge, and they like a story, and they like stuff like that. People generally still watch TV, you know, for news and things like that. So
right.
I think that as more people cut the cord, maybe in 5 years, the outlook for talk shows on streaming services might change a bit, but I just don't think we're quite there yet. So maybe we'll be saying she's a pioneer.
Right.
Who knows?
Next up, so here's sort of an update. We talked about Mr. Kevin Hart and, of course, the big controversy with the Oscars. There's been a lot of news with him, and I won't go through all of it. He's had a few...
Is that Kevin Hart and Matt Gilligan?
How dare you?
Oh, sorry. Nobody knows who Matt Gilligan is. Sorry.
How dare you?
That's funny for us. Sorry, everybody.
So he had an appearance on Ellen, which got some backlash because it was very friendly. He had an appearance on Stephen Colbert, which was less friendly, so that got some backlash for different reasons. So he's been going around in circles. But the upshot of all this is that he is not hosting the Oscars. Apparently, the Academy
and he's
Award.
Been hired as a meteorologist at Channel 10.
Channel 10. Oh, it'll
Small
be exciting.
Victories. Why are you allowed to joke about it? And I'm not.
Because I'm funny.
That's a good point. He makes a good point. So he's not hosting the Oscars. It seems like the Academy Award people were still sort of interested. But Kevin Hart is steadfastly like he's not doing it. So the Oscars will not have a host this year. So that's
what?
That's
Bert is not having a host?
I'm
available.
I am also available. Yeah.
I have nothing to do.
They're actually not even allow you to watch it this year, Brian. If they're going to block it from your house.
Yeah.
Vinny and I could co-host it. I think we do a good job. I think we could.
We could barely host this show.
I think we could pull it off.
I actually think...
We'll put Cam in the truck.
Let's be real about the Oscars here for
sure.
A second.
Can you say Mahershala Ali?
Do it, Brian.
I'm out.
Do it.
Mahershala Ali. I don't know who that is.
All right. Okay. Yeah,
that's
he's
why
not getting
can't
a job.
The Oscars.
I came
yeah.
close, though, for not knowing who
you
it was.
You did. You did.
Yeah, and you should just see his Twitter account. It's so the Oscars, really, the host of the Oscars is a very prestigious thing, but it's unnecessary. They have it because they had it, and they're not wrong for getting rid of it, because honestly, the Oscars seem to me to be in a position where every year they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's mad at the Oscars every freaking year.
I think that's become part of the Oscars. Like
job.
You, like yeah. like everybody wants to hate watch the Oscars.
Who wants that pressure?
I'd do it.
You know who'd do it? I bet you the president would do it if you asked him nicely. I bet you he'd do it.
He'd love that.
He would love it.
He'd be so happy.
And the country would run better for 3.5 hours.
It'd be great
because he'd be busy.
Subjective, Brian. Subjective. I'm just
that
saying
Oscar
that like
telecast would be like 14 hours long though.
Like the fact that Kevin Hart is not like. Oh, good, we made up, I'll do it.
Right.
I actually kind of respect him for that because I don't respect anything that he said. But, you know, okay, well, this wasn't going to be a good fit. Why are we going to try to make it a good fit now? I respect that.
Yeah, I've got mixed feelings on the whole thing. But
and it's probably best that he just stays out of it.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and he clearly, like, I think he has a point of view on certain things. People wanted him to say
he does, doesn't he?
I think people, you know, people have been sort of looking for him to like just say you're joking. You know, I think is the bottom line of what people wanted, and then everything's fine. And he doesn't want to do it, and I guess I can kind of respect that.
The most important question is how is this going to affect your Oscars party?
Oh, it's a 100%. I mean, if I don't get the job, I'm not watching.
Hashtag Roskers. Yeah, he's trying to make that a thing.
Are you really?
Yeah, I've gotten 4 likes so far, so we're on our way.
Five, buddy. Five, pal. I'm hyped up to the Roskers.
Six.
Is that when you get to watch the Oscars without Ross ruining it?
Yep. You shouldn't watch it without me.
They have really good appetizers, and he's bound and gagged in the corner.
Forget about the Vanity Fair party.
They're
I'm
themed.
Going to Ross's house.
The appetizers are themed, Brian.
I just want to watch the Oscars with Ross bound and gagged.
And he just gets to hang out with his husband all night. Which
it's
is,
just a
I
life.
Like Mike. He's a good guy.
It's just a split screen with me bound and gagged on one side and then...
And I would just compliment Mike on the resolution of the TV. Oh my gosh, Mike. This 4K is amazing. It
really
it's just
good.
Ross will be in the corner going... Just duct tape on his mouth flipping out. So did you get the 4K Xbox, Mike? Oh, I would laugh so hard.
It's going to be a good time. I see the pain on his face.
What else is happening other than strange parties?
All right, so another update. So we talked, this is sort of comedy adjacent at this point, but this is something we talked about. I thought there was an interesting update. So we had talked about Hasan Minhaj and his episode of Patriot Act that was blocked by in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And then we talked a little bit about the idea that, you know, these streaming services versus a little more authoritarian countries and the leverage they have or whatever. So it turns out Saudi Arabia, sure enough, was listening in, and they're starting their own streaming service. Saudi-backed.
Hold on.
Sign me up.
They don't have one yet?
They have Netflix.
Is it just people's hands getting chopped off in the town square for for stealing bread?
The Punishment Channel.
But the exciting shows are just the people stealing the bread, and then there's
and people just
it's the crime show,
and everyone's just rooting for justice.
Yep, absolutely.
Wow.
So they hired a former Hulu executive, a guy named Johannes Larcher. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but So they are teaming with Middle Eastern broadcaster NBC Group to start a on-demand a streaming service called Shadid. So
cool.
She had some really good albums in the
80s. Absolutely.
It's
horrible what she's done.
All right, you got me on one finally. You got me on one today.
She died in the plane crash.
I'm pretty sure Vince will put some WWE on there pretty fast.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have some wrestling on there. That'll be good.
Cornerstone product.
Yep.
Beautiful.
So we gave Saudi Arabia some ideas, apparently.
I have a weird idea for Saudi Arabia. How about a free press?
How about ladies drive cars?
Oh, let's not get crazy.
They do. The ladies can drive cars now.
Sorry. Yeah, they just got their first movie.
Like sorry, guys.
As of like a year ago.
Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to.
Yeah. But they have to pull over if there's ever a male man driving a car past
them.
Well,
limits. I do that anyway. It's too
right.
Myself, so. Okay. Because you're afraid of men behind you.
Afraid of men behind me.
All right. What else you got?
You never know what could happen.
Last story?
Last story. So this is another update. It does bring in our friend Cat Williams.
That's a good picture of him.
His triumphant return.
He's put on some weight.
So, Cat Williams himself, things have been a little quiet. But we will recall a lot of these news stories this week. Begin with you will recall. Cat Williams was on the Frank and Wanda show in Atlanta. There was a big fight.
Mm-hmm. Gun
Wanda's
was pulled.
Husband pulled a gun later. Disappeared Escaped into the food land, emporium. Et cetera.
There was retreated gunplay and yogurt involved.
To the food emporium.
If the story weren't so good, I wouldn't feel the need to recap it every week. But this is the soap opera that keeps going on. So
is this Wanda?
The update. So this is Wanda.
Okay.
So the update on this is that Wanda found it, and there's no comment on this why this happened, but Wanda has been fired from her job at the Frank and Wanda show. I don't know how that happened.
So you mean her job from the Frank show?
Her job from the Frank show. So
I think Cat Williams made a call.
I bet you they hired the husband. That's
it.
Controversy creates cash.
Yeah, there's no.
Thanks,
and,
Eric.
You know, I sort of, I'm not an expert on the Frank and Wanda show or Atlanta broadcasting or anything like that. But there was a lot of no one seems to, other than the Cat Williams thing, nobody seems to have any explanation because it's a popular show, popular host. So that is the speculation that this is all down to Cat Williams, which seems stupid because.
Judging
I feel
by,
like everybody's talking about the Frank and Wanda show, which I had never heard of myself. So.
Judging by prior evidence, I think there's going to be a station producer with a gun in his face pretty shortly in the parking lot of a food emporium.
That's a good point.
I'll see you at Kroger. Okay, so we think that Kat got Wanda fired. Interesting.
We don't know that. Allegedly?
I said we think allegedly Kat got fired. What kind of pull does Cat Williams have? It always amazes me. Like, he's winning awards.
Yeah.
He's acting like a lunatic. But I gotta ask myself, what pull does this man really have at a radio station in Atlanta?
Well, this is why Cat Williams is fascinating, because I think we talked about this before. It's this, like, dual-track life.
Yeah.
Where, like, one of these tracks, like, this guy is dead. This guy died a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of, like, whatever. Yes, a million different things. And then the other guy's like, yeah, he's getting Emmys. He's going on the thing.
He can sell any venue he chooses.
Yeah. And it's fascinating. And, like, you expect him to pick one at some point, but it hasn't happened. And I don't know how you go. I don't know how you live. I don't know how you live, like, over here and over here at the same time.
It's, I think they're not as far away from each other as one would think.
Maybe that's it.
I believe that Hollywood's been filled with lunatics since the get-go, and they've just been very good at dealing with it.
Yeah.
Because if you got the talent, if you got the goods, if you got the goods, listen, if they'll protect people who bring in money all day long. It's the lesson.
Look at Charlie Sheen.
Look at Charlie Sheen.
I'd rather not.
Absolute lunatic. And then, but no matter what he does, he keeps chugging along.
That's a solid point, too. Charlie Sheen's always got a TV show. Doesn't he have a TV show right now still?
I think so, yeah.
Probably
somewhere.
So to make a comparison that my people could understand, you're saying he's the Judy Garland of...
Thanks for translating for us, Ross. We appreciate that.
Make sure.
And Wanda is the Sid Luft of the whole situation.
Sid Luft.
Wow.
What a reference.
Wow. I think we should end on that. I think that you're not going to...
Google it, everyone. Google it.
That's a thank you, goodnight moment.
Wanda is the Sid Luft to Cat Williams' Judy Garland.
Wow.
He's in a room. And that Wanda!
See, now you're going too far. You should have just taken the reference and moved on.
I've never loved you more.
Thank you, Ross. That's the end of our show.
Our guest next week, Sid Luft.
Sid Luft's corpse. It'll be great. We'll see y'all next week when our guest Felipe Esparza is here. Yeah. So until then... leave a review. Don't be a jerk. We're going to go have some boring Brian Ball boring burgers, I guess. You could join us at Sapori. Later, Mark.